And this will be made available after the session, so everyone will have an opportunity to review this or share it with colleagues who were unable to attend. Just a quick check. If someone can type in the chat that they can hear me just fine, that would be great. Perfect. Thanks, everybody. Want to make sure I'm not talking to myself. I do enough of that on a daily basis. So welcome. This is our second OMS Tech Friday. My name is Carl Rautenstrauch. Myself and Kevin Sullivan conduct these sessions on a bi-weekly basis, and we're happy to have you with us. Kevin is out today. He is enjoying some sun and fun in Florida on the Gulf Coast. So he's a little west of where I am today. I'm based out of Northeast Florida on the Atlantic side. And going to be guiding you through OMS fundamentals with a focus on Azure backup today. So I hope you find this useful. We're going to go through a brief presentation and then launch into a demo and also have Q&A throughout. So please use the chat window for that Q&A. And I will answer as I can as I go along. And worst case scenario, I'll do my best to get to your questions at the end, or you can follow up with me afterwards. That is my email address here at Microsoft, karoughton@microsoft.com. Mercifully short considering that last name. So feel free to ping me after the call. Quick reminder, we do have our valued customers, our valued partners, and internal Microsoft folks here on the call. So I do have to stick to a no roadmap conversation. This does we don't know that everyone on the call has an NDA with us, so you may hear me defer questions and unfortunately not be able to respond to those at this point in time. But I will be able to share some recently public or soon to be public information with you that has been cleared with our teams. So we talked about most of these upfront rules here and guidance. The last one there, that location, aka.ms/OMS Fridays. That's where you will find this presentation and the recording of this call when we complete it. I'm going to do my best to get that posted today as long as I have access to the OneDrive location that links to, and we'll be good to go. Worst case scenario, when Kevin gets back in the office on Monday, we'll have everything posted then. All right, so again, we're going to talk briefly about Operations Management Suite or OMS all up here at the top of the call. Then we're going to move into Azure Backup, including that demo, and a sneak peek into some things that will be available to all of you shortly. All right, so what is Operations Management Suite or OMS? Well, OMS, as the name implies, is a suite of different services that are available in Microsoft Azure. These are services that are available independently or as part of an all-up suite that can be purchased. And I encourage you to talk to your licensing specialist about exactly how that can be done. We are not discussing the sales specifics here. This is a tech call, but you can approach your licensing folks, your partner of choice, and get some details on how OMS can be acquired as a bundle. But these services are all available standalone as well. And the focus is really on comprehensive systems management. So public cloud resources and private cloud resources. And the great thing about OMS, because this is something that is born in the cloud, that is built on top of Microsoft Azure to begin with, is that it is ever evolving and it is changing at a really, really rapid rate. And that's great for all of you. So the OMS components that you begin using today will continue to be enhanced over their lifetime, enhanced at a rapid rate. We release new updates on a monthly, quarterly, biannually basis, and it's just ridiculous how quickly these components, these elements of the suite are evolving and improving and gaining new, really, really cool capabilities, really useful capabilities all the time. And you'll see an example of that coming up here. So again, private clouds and public clouds, and public clouds that are not Azure are all supported. So Microsoft Operations Management Suite allows you to leverage these components and capabilities with virtual machines and physical servers that are running in your own data centers, someone else's who may be hosting those for you, including other public cloud platforms outside of Microsoft Azure. And OMS can interact with an existing System Center deployment or stand independent of it. So this is a really flexible framework and completely heterogeneous. Different hypervisors, Windows, Linux, public cloud, private cloud, Microsoft Azure, non-Azure. This is something that is part of the new Microsoft Open standpoint and heterogeneous platform support. So what are the components that make it up? Well, there's log analytics, automation, availability, and security components of OMS. Log analytics, that's what we used to call operational insights, and you'll still see some references to that term, but we're evolving that, we're changing that to reflect what it really does, which is allowing you to collect logs from heterogeneous systems and perform some really intelligent analysis against them. OI, now log analytics, really makes it simple to drill down into trends and problems quickly. Amazing capabilities using the scale and power of the Microsoft Azure Public Cloud Platform. Automation, in the form of Azure Automation Services, allows you to do the kinds of things that you would expect from any automation platform. Simplify deployments, simplify configuration management, and it also ties into other aspects of the suite, like Azure Site Recovery, one of the members of the availability portion of the suite. Using Azure Automation, I can add into the existing automation capabilities of Site Recovery, the out-of-the-box automation capabilities, more sophisticated functionality. Azure Automation allows me to store complex routines in the form of runbooks. Those runbooks can be invoked during an Azure Site Recovery plan execution, allowing me to add really, really sophisticated functions and operations to a failover from an on-premise environment to the Azure Public Cloud for disaster recovery. That's what Azure Site Recovery is. That is our disaster recovery to cloud or disaster recovery between two traditional on-premise environments. Azure Backup is what we're going to be focusing on today. And that is a backup solution in many traditional senses that is part of the availability pillar within OMS. And then security. This is an emerging component in the OMS suite. You're going to see some really cool, really sophisticated, really helpful security-based functionality added in as we go forward. And already on top of what we offer today with the log analytics capabilities in the form of security and audit drill downs. So why OMS? You know, this is one of those things that we love to demo. We've got a bunch of videos on Channel 9 and linked off of the Azure public website. Our TSPs that work with our customers, our partners that work with our customers, love to show OMS because it's really simple to set up versus traditional management and monitoring solutions. And it's also really easy to use. I do not have an extensive management background, and yet I can log into the OMS portal and quickly drill down and locate a trending issue that I may have or a problem with an individual server that is fairly high priority that I need to take a look into. And that goes into the other components in the solution. Automation. Hey, you know, badge of shame here, guys. I'm not a scripting wizard. PowerShell, I know the raw basics, and that's about it. But with Azure Automation, I can take an existing runbook, I can customize it really quickly, and start to do some cool things that I certainly never thought I'd be capable of doing. And, you know, the fact that this is an open platform, you know, it's not just the Microsoft-centric, Windows-centric solution that we've been famous for over the years, you know, we treat Linux as an equal citizen. We treat VMware as an equal citizen and offer these powerful capabilities throughout the suite across heterogeneous platforms that did not originate in Redmond. So I mentioned that we iterate quickly, we introduce new functionality at a rapid pace. Here's an example of that. From July through December, look at all of the net new capabilities or extensions to existing capabilities we introduced into the OMS suite. And you see what we have there on the horizon. Across the board, you're going to see enhancements in those areas that will be added at this same rapid pace. So one of the things I'm going to show you when I move over to the demo portion and begin sharing my desktop is where to see these announcements on upcoming capabilities. We are public with this information, very public, and you can subscribe to our blog feeds and get the latest and greatest news and updates on all the components of this suite. Okay, but we're going to spend the rest of our time and the remaining slides focusing on backup and then launch into a demo of the backup capabilities. And as I mentioned earlier, backup is part of the availability component in the OMS suite. So that includes Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup. You have the right to use both. Anyone with an active Azure subscription can use both of these capabilities, even outside of the OMS suite. And Azure Site Recovery, as the name implies, is focused on rapidly recovering and booting replicas of your virtual machines and physical servers in Azure to get you back up and running in the event of any number of different disasters at a server, rack, or site level. Azure Backup is focused on protecting two arenas: your on-premise resources through the Azure Backup Agent, Azure Backup Server, or System Center DPM, and resources that you have running in the Azure public cloud. So we're going to drill more into each of these capabilities, but keep in mind that Azure Backup is built to protect what you are running on-premise today and also what you're running natively in the form of virtual machines in the cloud. Okay, and one thing that we hear all the time is, well, I already have backup. That's my disaster recovery, or I'm already replicating my data. I'm covered. Well, you know, as a former business continuity architect, as a former storage manager and architect, disaster recovery and backup are not the same, and you really need both. And those who rely on backup today for disaster recovery or rely on disaster recovery to go back and retrieve data if it's accidentally deleted or you're requested to by auditors are going to be sorely disappointed. Now, these two solutions are exclusive. You do need both. And the vast majority of customers and the vast majority of industries that I talk to today are finding themselves in a 24/7, 365 world. And they need both of these solutions. So keep in mind that we offer both. We have both here available for you in the form of site recovery and backup. Okay, and before I get into how we do things, I see some questions have come in. I'm going to reply to those real quickly. So Azure Backup for ARM, what we refer to as V2 VM support, that is coming here shortly. As I mentioned at the top of the call, I cannot share dates. I cannot share information on roadmap. I can tell you that that is in plan, and you will see announcements shortly around those capabilities to protect machines in V2 infrastructure, ARM infrastructure, and also those that have premium storage attached. So keep your eyes peeled. And again, sorry, can't share the ETA there, but that is coming. And you'll see something cool around that here towards the end of our time together. So when we talk about backup to cloud, there's a couple of different ways to do that. And many vendors talk about having a backup to cloud solution. One of those is using cloud storage as a backup target. And that's what many traditional backup vendors do today. So they leverage our cloud storage or someone else's cloud storage, and they use it as a disk pool or a storage pool or whatever their terminology is for their solution. And they use that cloud storage as a means to offsite backups. It's effectively tape replacement. Great solution, but every cloud storage vendor, including Microsoft, but not exclusive to Microsoft, charges for pulling data out of the cloud. That's just the reality of cloud storage. So anytime you leverage a solution like that, you have to pay, of course, for that traditional backup software licensing. You have to pay for the cloud storage. Anytime you need to execute a restore from cloud, you are paying what is called egress costs in the cloud storage industry. So the other solution is running some components of that traditional backup software in an IaaS infrastructure. So running it as virtual machines in a public cloud platform. And what you find there is not only, again, are you paying for the backup software licensing, you're paying to run those virtual machines. Every cloud vendor charges you on a per minute or per hour basis for running virtual machines on their platform. And you're limited by the maximum amount of storage that can be attached to that virtual machine. And every cloud provider has some limit with their virtual machines. So it becomes kind of complex to manage. It becomes expensive due to the software licensing implications, due to the machine runtime implications. And yes, it works, but it's something to consider. And it's an alternative to, it's an alternative means to back up virtual machines that I have running on a cloud platform in production. But again, there's a lot to be considered there. So what we did with Azure Backup for both our on-premise to the cloud and our public cloud protection of virtual machines running within Azure is built our solutions from the cloud up. So what we've done there is we have built a platform that does not require virtual machines running 24/7, 365 to support and sustain it. We have built it in a way where it is a true service and there are no egress costs from storage. So you pay a per machine fee to back up and protect your machines. You pay for the storage of those backups, but you do not pay any restore costs. So when you need to recover data that is in those cloud backups, you're not paying that egress fee that I mentioned earlier. And we give you a portal to manage it and monitor it all in the cloud. So you're going to see how all of this looks during our demo portion, but keep in mind that what we're doing with Azure Backup was built by Microsoft, built native for the cloud, and some of the things that we're doing, like backing up Azure virtual machines using this technology is an exclusive to Microsoft in the cloud space. So what kind of challenges do we solve? Well, I'm going to talk about two scenarios. Scenario one is you have data on-premise today that you want to protect using the cloud as your offsite storage platform. Whether it's tape replacement, whether it's replacing replication to a disk-based backup platform off-site, whatever the case may be, you're looking for something more cost-effective that provides that protection that you get by shipping tapes off-site or replicating backups to a secondary site. So that's what we provide with Azure Backup for your on-premise applications and on-premise servers and in some cases even clients. And what we solve for you is we get rid of the headache of tape management. Tape is no longer needed. You're given a different offsite mechanism. We allow you to manage the scale of backups, the explosion of backups in a manageable way through the scale of cloud resources. We make it really easy to back up branch offices. I'm going to talk about how our customers are doing that. And we allow you to restore or to maintain those backups for a really, really long time, up to 99 years, as you see in the last bullet here, to meet your regulatory needs or internal compliance requirements. And we do all of this in an application consistent fashion for Microsoft applications, as you see there. We can protect virtual machines in a bare metal fashion when it comes to Hyper-V. Watch for some really exciting announcements around VMware coming up soon. We allow you to eliminate tape by safely offsite vaulting your backups into Azure. And we address those scalability issues by giving you massive repositories for those backups, making it really easy to manage a growing infrastructure. And I mentioned branch office backups, and I'm going to talk about that going forward here and kind of give you an example of that, a practical example. But keep in mind, for all of you who have distributed offices, you may have tape drives, tape libraries in those remote offices. Boy, how would you like to get rid of those? And we can give you a great way to do that. Okay, the second scenario is virtual machines that you are running production applications on inside of Azure. Well, you know, normally backing up virtual machines on a cloud provider is a nightmare. You have to shut down those machines and perform a disk-based snapshot, a storage-based snapshot, to get a consistent backup. That's downtime. That's not cool. You can't afford that. Those are not cataloged. So going back and finding out what has been backed up and executing a restore is an absolute nightmare. And, you know, you're not given any potential for future visibility into that application and more granular item level restore capabilities. Snapshots in cloud storage are great. They're just not great for virtual machines. So what if you had a solution that allowed you to do that a little bit differently, that did have awareness of the applications and the file systems, that could create consistent backups of the virtual machines that you're running on VMs in production in Azure? What if we could make it clicking a few buttons simple to recover those VMs and recover those apps? Now, what if we could do this and allow you to maintain the same regulatory and compliance requirements for retention? Well, we can. Many, many months ago, we introduced Azure Backup for Azure Virtual Machines. This is a first in the public cloud industry. This is normally a really boring topic, right? Backup is boring. You do it because you have to. Well, I did a European tour talking about site recovery and backup in mid-December. And I had a German power company, one of their lead architects, say to me that this is the single most exciting thing that he's seen in the public cloud space. They want to move production applications to the cloud. They could not do that without a means to safely back up and protect those applications. Now they have that. To him, this made us the only enterprise cloud provider in the industry. Backup. It's boring, but it's essential. We all need it, right? So let's take a look at this stuff in action. And what I'm going to do here is present my desktop. So bear with me. Don't panic. Your screen is going to go blank here for a minute or two while I go ahead and do this. I don't think I have anything embarrassing open, so we should be all good there. And I've gotten rid of Outlook, so you shouldn't be bombarded with my email pop-ups. And while that's coming up here, I'm going to take a look at our questions. So it looks like we've had folks in the audience who have been asking or answering some of these. Really appreciate that. Backup server different from Azure Backup, bare metal, Azure Backup, application consistent, Azure VMs. Yes. Okay. I think we've got everything answered there, except some of the differences between the different products, and I'm going to go through that. I will cover Azure Backup Server versus DPM versus Azure Backup Agent. I'll actually show you that here firsthand. I see one here from Emmanuel about restoring backups. To recreate VMs in South Central. Okay, so what kind of protection do we have across data centers? I'll show you that, give you an example there, Emmanuel, and talk to that. Thanks, Joe. I see you're chiming in here. Appreciate the help. And Anton, Azure Backup Agent, updated very often. Okay, I'll address that as well. So I'm going to get to each and every one of these questions, and I'll do it by showing you firsthand how we do things like updates, how we would handle things like data center outages and availability to your backups. So I think I'm going to cover all of these. If I don't, please, you know, copy paste your question again to make sure I don't ignore it, which would not be on purpose. I can guarantee that. All right, so you should be seeing my browser here. I've got several tabs open in Chrome. Let's go ahead and take a look. We're going to start first off with the announcements that I referred to earlier. So we sure announce a lot of stuff, and we do it on a really frequent basis. So the best thing you can do here is subscribe to this feed, our blog on backup and recovery. And this is going to include many topics, not all of them on Azure Backup, of course. You will see things like this call. We are maintaining this particular page, this blog. Myself and Kevin has a link to the location where we are posting presentations and recordings of these sessions. That link will take you to this OneDrive location where you will always be able to get the prior weeks, and that is multiple weeks worth of slide decks and also the recordings of the sessions. So I encourage you to head out here to the Azure blog, specifically the storage backup and recovery, and subscribe to that feed. And then also the System Center blog for now contains the OMS updates as well. So hop out here, subscribe to that, and you can get some good updates there as well on log analytics and automation. So real quick here, as we move through, the Azure Documentation Center is amazing. And when I go here to azure.microsoft.com, hit that documentation link, come down here, and for example, hit backup, you can find anything and everything that you want to know. What brought me to Microsoft 3 years ago was the transparency of the Azure website, believe it or not. Again, boring. I'm a former storage guy, so I'm kind of into boring stuff. But, here, for example, in the frequently asked questions, what's the support matrix? Boom, there you go, right there. Hey, how do I go about doing this? Well, step by step, how to configure everything that I'm going to show you here. The documentation is off the charts when it comes to all services inside of Azure. But here's what you came to see. How does this stuff look, feel, and work? All right, so this is my Azure Management Portal, one of the subscriptions that I have available to me. And what we are going to discuss is part of our recovery services portfolio. So let's go down here. We're going to drill into that. You can see that I have some site recovery resources that I've created and that I manage on an ongoing basis. And then backup, our focus for today. So right off the bat, here's the quick start. You know, you saw the detailed documentation there on the Azure website. Here's the quick hit list on how you can go through and configure everything that I've done and get it up and running in your own Azure subscription. And you can do this with one of our free trial subscriptions. So azure.microsoft.com, you'll see the link for free trials. You're not a customer today, not a user of Azure services. You can go ahead and kick the tires on this yourself. Here are the different scenarios that we support. Azure Backup Agent. This is a file and folder backup solution for desktops and servers. Great for remote office file servers. Great for end users out in remote offices. I'm going to show you exactly what this looks like. Then here's how to protect virtual machines running inside of Azure. You know, that is something I'm going to show you for a couple of VMs I have running today. And then for applications that you want to protect or bare metal servers in today, a Hyper-V environment, more going forward, you could use our Microsoft Azure Backup Server Or if you are a System Center DPM customer, you can extend DPM to Azure and vault your DPM backups to an Azure Backup Vault. The great thing about Azure Backup Server, all of the capabilities of DPM minus vaulting to tape without System Center licensing. And that's the piece I'm going to show you today. So once I get things set up, once I get my systems registered with my backup vault that I want to protect, I'm going to see my high-level dashboard. So I've got a couple of machines that I'm protecting to the cloud. I've got virtual machines running in the cloud I'm protecting. And I'm currently using a meager amount of storage, 43 gig of storage. You can use multiple 500 plus terabyte storage accounts inside your vault to protect machines inside of Azure or on your own premise. Okay, what am I protecting? Well, let's take a look. I've got two categories. I'm protecting a desktop machine, you can see there. I'm protecting an Azure backup server. I'm vaulting that to this particular backup vault. And I'm also protecting a couple of Azure virtual machines. So this is really cool because I'm protecting a Windows-based virtual machine and a CentOS-based virtual machine, both running inside of Azure. Now, what do we have here? A deleted VM. This is something that can really be a lifesaver. You've got a system admin who's trying to do the right thing, going out there cleaning up, removing machines from your subscription. Oh no, they removed one that is a production VM. What do you do? Well, I had one of those oops moments here, right? I deleted a SQL server running in Azure. Really easy for me to go over to my protected items tab and recover that VM as though nothing had ever happened. So bare metal recovery, even of deleted Azure virtual machines. All right, so let's finish our virtual machine protection discussion here by taking a look at exactly how you would protect net new virtual machines. Well, let's go ahead and perform a discovery. We're going to take a look and see if I have added any new virtual machines to my Azure environment. And we'll go ahead and let that discovery finish. Oh, looks like it did already. Wow, that was nice and fast. Now let's go down here and register any of the new VMs that I have running. Huh, and look at that. These are all virtual machines that I have running in my subscription that I'm not currently protecting. So let's go ahead and add protection for this SQL server that's running in Azure. All right, we're going to go ahead and do that. Yep, that's going to create the backend job. All right, that's going to go ahead and run, and then it will show up as an item that has been registered to the vault, and I can add protection for it, which is a pretty simple thing. So let's switch back over here, look at our virtual machines. All right, there you go. It's going to show up here as soon as it's ready for me to protect it, and that'll take a minute or two, because what I'm now doing is pushing the extension to that virtual machine that will allow me to perform application consistent backups of that SQL database. And once that shows up, then I can go ahead and configure that with one of my policies that I've set up or create a new policy. So here's one that I've applied to a couple of virtual machines. Let's take a look at that. And what I'm doing is I'm backing up every day at 7 o'clock, and I'm retaining those daily backups for 30 days. I'm retaining monthlies for 12 months, for 1 year. And I could set up yearly retention for up to 99 years if I wanted to and needed to for that virtual machine. So these policies can be modified at any point in time. You can go ahead and change your mind and edit any of these parameters here. And I can also go ahead and add net new virtual machines so that this same policy applies to those virtual machines. So as soon as my SQL server ends up being registered here, you know, I can go ahead and go and configure protection and apply this same daily and monthly creation and retention policy to that VM and protect it. So there was a question earlier about, well, what happens if this storage is unavailable in the Azure region? Well, I have chosen geo-redundant storage protection. What that means is this data, these backups, are being replicated from our East US data center to our West US data center automatically for me. If we have a disaster in the East US region, we declare disaster, we can make this storage, this backup vault, read-writable and make your backups accessible to you. So that's kind of cool. And that's a choice. You can choose that level of storage protection, which comes at an additional cost, or you can choose the locally redundant, which is available just in our East region. So everything that I'm protecting, those VMs that we looked at, my desktop machine, my Azure backup server, all of those things that I'm protecting are currently being replicated between the East and the West Coast. So I've got effectively multiple copies of my backups on separate coasts here within the U.S. Okay, so let's go back and take a little deeper look at that backup that I did of my desktop client. All right, so to do that, you know, I know from here, from my registered items view, and also from my protected items view, and there's our new SQL Server showing up, by the way, I know that I have that desktop machine being protected. And let's say I deleted a file and I need to recover it. Well, that is done from the client today through the Azure Backup Agent and the Azure Backup Agent software. Here you can see I've been backing up my own desktop machine for a while now. I think it's been a little over a week. I had an issue at one point, which was because I had done something stupid. But other than that, this has been humming along just fine for me. And it's really easy for me to do a couple of things. If I'm about to do an upgrade and I have to be careful with what's going on here, I can go ahead and hit the backup now and do an on-demand backup. I can change my current backup schedule here and go ahead and make changes to the files and folders that I'm protecting, make changes to my schedule or my retention. Really easy to modify all of that. And most importantly, I can easily restore data. So let's take a look at how that looks. You know, here's my machine I'm protecting, my desktop. I have two choices. I can either browse through the file and folder structure of what I'm protecting, or I can go ahead and do a search to look for a specific file or folder. I'm going to go ahead and do the browse. So this is going to take a look at what I'm protecting. Right now, it's just my C drive. Azure Backup is going to go and retrieve the available recovery points I have in the cloud. And here you can see I have backups available to me going all the way back to Wednesday the 9th. So let's take a look at what I had yesterday. All right, we're going to start drilling through my gory directory structure. You can see what a cluttered mind I have based on my directory structure here. Here's what I am selectively protecting, including my OneDrive, which is, I realize, not the smartest thing in the world that's already being backed up for me, but maybe I'm just paranoid. Let's go in here to my favorites, and I can drill down and retrieve what I'm protecting, which is just favorites at the root, not a whole heck of a lot there. Or go into my documents. You can see I'm protecting my Visio shapes. I'm a big fan of my Visio shapes. And, you know, here we go in and take a look at the content that I've created for an online course that we'll be broadcasting here shortly. And I can retrieve a copy of this presentation from yesterday. And it's as simple as selecting that and then choosing whether I want to recover that to the original location or an alternate. So this is the same mechanism I would use to protect and recover files and folders on a desktop machine or a remote file server, say in a remote office. nice and easy to use. And you can even do these recoveries to an alternate machine if the original were to be deleted. You do, however, need the encryption key. So all forms of Azure backup leverage encryption in flight and at rest. And that encryption is based on the key that you provide. It is a private encryption key. So if I were to have a catastrophic failure here on my desktop, I get a new machine, I take my recovery key, and after installing the Azure Backup Agent, I can provide it with that encryption key and then retrieve my backups from my old desktop. But the key there is you need to protect that encryption key, because that is yours, that is not sent to Azure, that is exclusive to you, and make sure that your data stays secure in flight and at rest and secure to you. So that applies not only to the Azure Backup client, like I'm using here on my desktop, but it also applies to Azure Backup Server and System Center DPM using Azure Backup. So let's take a look at that aspect now. Azure Backup Client, files and folders only, desktops and file servers. Azure Backup Server is exactly like System Center DPM without the license requirement and with no capability to backup to tape. But who needs tape when I can backup offsite to Azure? So let's take a look here. You can see that right now I am protecting one lonely little SQL server in my lab infrastructure with four databases, only one of which I've created with any real data in it. But hey, this is a demo, right? Best I can do with limited resources and time. So those are going along swimmingly, but at one point they were not, right? You saw I had a bunch of failures there. Well, lesson learned, kids. That's what happens when you set something up and you walk away and say, great, I'll get back to that next week. Well, backups need access to resources, and without proper privileges, they can't back things up. Thankfully, our error logs are great, so I was able to figure out what I had done wrong. Say, stupid Carl, fix it pretty quickly, and now my backups are running swimmingly. But here, I've got a SQL Server that I'm protecting, the four databases that live on it. If I want to add and protect more machines in my lab infrastructure, that's as simple as going down here to management, choosing to do a push install of the backup agent to another server in my domain. And if you don't have a domain set up or you have restrictions in terms of connectivity, you can have someone else install that agent and then connect to it. That's the attach agent option here. So you can see we've got a whole bunch of servers that are running. Not all of these are mine. I'm going to be a good boy and choose one of mine. And we'll add protection to it. Okay, how do I want to log into that? Well, let's use mine. Again, I should ideally have a service account. I know that. But it's a lab. I have very little time. So I'm going to use my own account. And typing your password properly is important. Okay, and you may, as it says here, have to restart that server in order to complete the process here. You can choose to go ahead and do that during a change window, or go ahead and fire that off right away if needed. And I'm going to go ahead and do that because this is one of my demo machines. And now it's going to go ahead and push the agent out to my IIS, my web front end, and allow me to then begin protecting that server. And this is a lot like what we looked at in the past in terms of applying policies or creating policies, adding servers to policies. Azure Backup Server and System Center DPM are a lot like backup utilities I'm sure you use today. Now, let's go ahead and close that, because that's like watching paint dry, seeing software installed. And take a look here at what I'm doing. We're going to look at my protection policy here for this particular group of one. and take a look here at my options. Let's go in here and take a look at my current protection policy and show you how we can make some changes here. You can see I've got a bunch of recovery options here. Very nice. Actually, how's that doing? Is that coming along quickly? Because I'd love to show you adding that into the group. Oh, wow. Nice. That went real quick. See if that server had to reboot or not. Okay. Ping. IST. And that is ASR-Hyper-V-IIS. Oops. Can't type today. Look at that. Must not have had to reboot. Awesome. Love it. That's good stuff. Okay, so we've got another one that is currently unprotected. Let's fix that, shall we? All right, so we're going to go ahead and add him to a protection group. So let's do new. We might as well start from scratch so you all can see that process. Okay, we'll create a new protection group. This allows me to go through the whole process of protecting or creating the policies and everything that is really exciting here. All right, so there's my server. Let's go ahead and do that. We're going to protect him. Okay. And let's protect everything on that guy. Yep, I do want to do the system state as well. Okay, now here's where things are a little different than what you may have seen in the past. So we're going to change that name to web servers. And one thing I have to do with System Center DPM and Azure Backup Server is make sure that I have at least one copy on disk, which is just smart anyway, honestly. I mean, most of your restores are going to be ones that are going to come in for events that happened very, very recently, right? Hey, I just deleted this file, or I deleted this file yesterday. So you want those restores to happen really, really fast. And it's always going to be faster to restore from a local copy than it is from the cloud. That's just reality, right? That's just the nature of doing it from a disk in the data center versus doing it from a disk over an internet connection. So I have to have at least one copy here on disk. And then instead of choosing, well, vault it off to tape every week, every day, whatever the case may be, I choose to enable that off-site protection to the cloud. All right, so we're going to go ahead and do that. Now I've got some choices here. You can see with Azure Backup Server, we can be very, very granular with recovery points. We can take backups every 15 minutes there, up to every day. And you know, I can choose how many days here I want to keep locally on disk. Really, really cool stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And then, you know, do I want it to be in the same pool as the rest of my backups, or you can segregate backups? A lot of choices here. I'm going to keep it all in the same pool. Yep, we'll go ahead and create the replica. I want to make sure my backups are always good, so I'm going to run a consistency check on those. And gee, what do I want to protect online? Well, let's make sure everything is protected to Azure. And how frequently do I want to send those backups to Azure? So I'm going to go ahead and do that, and you can see I can do that up to twice a day. And let's do that, well, twice a day. 9 p.m. is good. And I'm going to get one in the middle of the workday, too. So let's go ahead and choose one at 1 p.m. Okay, and my retention policy. How do I want to prune my backups? How much do I want to keep in the cloud? So you have complete control over that, lots of flexibility. I'm going to choose the default policy for now in interest of time. And for those of you who may have limited bandwidth, you can see here that you can do an offline backup to seed these backups to the cloud. So offline backup, you perform these backups to a USB drive. That USB drive is encrypted. You ship that to our Azure data center, and we ingest and import those backups for you. And then when you start, you are able to start incrementally from the time that it is now to the time when those backups were created. So really cool stuff. So let's go ahead and do that. And at this point, it's going to execute a bunch of stuff here in the background, create that schedule, create those retention policies for me, and then I can go ahead and begin backing up. Now, in terms of recovery, once I have backed something up, that's going to look really familiar to what you saw with the Azure Backup Agent. So user-friendly, item-level recovery. Do I want to recover a file, a folder? Do I want to revert a machine back to where it was using the system state backup and recovery? Or in the case of databases, you know, do I want to go ahead and recover a database back to a particular point in time? We can see everywhere on the calendar where I have valid backups. And then I can also choose what recovery points I want to leverage, whether that's coming back from the cloud or coming back from the local disk copy. So here I need to restructure things a little bit. You can see, again, because I was in a hurry, I was kind of a moron, and I have my backup to disk and my online backup at the same time. Not that that's useless, because that still gives me a means to recover if I had some kind of catastrophic local disk failure. But, you know, staggering those would probably be better. You know, again, really, really easy to execute these recoveries. And I can do it in this case down to a single database. I have that granularity of recovery. And you can see here as well that we support Exchange, SharePoint, file servers. All of those key applications are supported, and Hyper-V virtual machines as well. You can install these agents and protect files, folders, Exchange, SharePoint, and SQL in virtual machines running on VMware, also on physical servers. And we have some cool things coming for VMware in the future, so keep your eyes peeled. Okay, I promised a peek into the future. I'm going to do that real quick, and then we will go over to the questions, and then I'm going to have to wrap up at the top of the hour. I apologize. I've got another call coming right up at the top of the hour, but I mentioned some futures. There were questions around ARM. I'm sure there have been questions around the new portal. Keep your eyes peeled to that blog, because you're going to see some cool things coming with site recovery and backup that will give many of you things that you've been looking for. So you see this, you'll see more, and keep your eyes peeled for that. So at this point, I am going to stop sharing my desktop. I'm going to flip back over to our window here, our chat window, and take a look at the questions. I see a bunch have come in, and really sorry I wasn't able to pay more attention to those. First time we've gone through this, so next time I'll make sure I leave more for questions. But let me take a look here. Okay, going way back up the list. Wow. Okay, I see a lot of questions have been answered. Probably going to be easier for me to start at the bottom and work my way up. I see we've got some folks promoting their blogs. Awesome. Love it. That is a great thing. Some Twitter feeds being followed. I've got to update my Twitter handle, because right now it's really lame. And next time we all do this, I'll share that and make sure I start tweeting. Yeah, we'll go ahead and get active with the tweets. Let's see here. What else? Share with me when you finish your article. Lots of stuff on the blogs. I want to flip through and leave a couple of resources here with everybody. So what I showed you, if you're interested in seeing more of what we have coming in terms of next-gen solutions, do yourself and do us a favor. Head out to aka.ms/Azure Advisors. This is a way that you can engage us in these previews and, you know, what everybody else used to call betas, what we now call previews. You will have to sign an NDA with us. But go ahead and out there, sign up for the programs that you see if there's something you're interested in, and hopefully we can get you involved. We covered some cool stuff here. I hope everybody walks away thinking, wow, Microsoft is really into this backup thing now. Remember that when it comes to protecting production virtual machines running in the cloud, we're the only ones who can do that with a real backup solution today. And hopefully you've seen that today. Wow, is this stuff changing for the better really, really fast. Heterogeneous Linux, Windows, Hyper-V, VMware, and more cool stuff coming soon. And here are some links to stuff that we covered. I showed you the documentation. There's an active link in the presentation that, again, you will be able to download along with a recording as soon as I can get it posted. For our partners who are on the call, here's a link just for you, aka.ms/OMS partner. So you will need MPN credentials, Microsoft Partner Network credentials. That one's just for you guys. And some good resources there. But the other three, those are available to everyone. That's all public content. And I hope you'll go out and review that. Hope you like what you saw today. I see more and more folks answering questions, helping each other. This is great. That is exactly what we love to see on these calls. We want, this is a means to connect customers to one another, Microsoft internal employees to customers and partners, partners to customers, partners to partners. You know, this is a big, hour long kumbaya every other week. So, boy, you guys are fantastic here. My goodness. I can't see anything that I need to answer here because you've been on top of it. Wow. Man, geez, I feel like I got to send checks out in the mail to some folks. Before we depart, anything that wasn't answered. Ah, there we go. There's one from Chris. When will Azure Backup offline seeding using import-export be supported in ARM? Great question, Chris. Sync up with me offline. I don't have that answer for you right now. Even if I did, the NDA stuff I can't share on this call. But here, let's go all the way back to that first slide. And there is my email address. So if you didn't get an answer to your question today, Chris, I can answer yours privately offline here. Go ahead and send me a note, and we'll get you going there. All right, we are almost at the top of the hour. And yeah, James, shout out to the MVPs. You guys rock. We'll get your questions answered, and wow, you guys are great. This has been an awesome call, super participation. Hopefully this was good and enlightening. You saw stuff you liked, and please reach out if there's anything that we didn't get to cover, and I will be happy to get back to you. So I'm exhausted. I gotta go get some water before my 12 o'clock call. Thank you all so much. Please keep coming. And we're going to do this every other week on Friday. It's going to be a big party, Kevin and I. And that's it. I have to take leave of you all. Have a great weekend if I don't talk to you one-on-one beforehand. Take care, everyone. Awesome stuff. Appreciate it. And thank you to all of you.